Well, my task this morning is to start talking about the husband's role. Woohoo! Right? Woohoo! This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. Now, I want you to know right off the bat, however, that this session is really important both for the men and for the women. So all of you who happen to have your husbands here, I realize you might be tempted to nudge him and say, pay close attention, honey. This session's for you. And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. But it's actually for you too. It's for both of us, because this is not just a sermon to men. This is a counseling conference helping us learn how to minister to people. And so many of us who are men are going to talk to men about their husbandly role. But ladies, you might be asking, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to be doing that, so why would I care? Because you're ministering to wives. And sometimes those wives want their husbands to be different, and they want to tell you about it. So you need to know what God actually expects of their husbands, as opposed to just simply take the woman that you're talking to's word for it. She might have a series of unbiblical expectations for her husband, and then she's mad about it and wants you to commiserate with her and say, oh, you're so right, you have a terrible husband. When in reality, you need to have some level of discernment about that. So this lecture is important for both men and women. Those who are single, those who are married, we're talking about getting involved in ministry in people's lives, and we need to understand what these things are in order to do ministry well. God also designed men and women to function in specific ways in marriage. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that God has designed men, husbands, to function in certain ways, and wives to also function in certain ways. And so our attention is going to center on how God says that Christian men and Christian women are going to function within their marital roles between this session and the next one. By the way, that's exactly the same reason why the wife's role is important for men. It's not just a sermon to wives to get your act together. It is a counseling training conference in order to help all of us as we're seeking to serve men, women, marriages, regardless of who we are talking to. The third point of introduction is a husband's ability and willingness to fulfill his role will be contingent on his relationship with Jesus. Don't forget that. You know, it's always possible when you get an intake form and somebody says something like, well, I want to know how to be a better husband. And you think to yourself, yes, thank you, Lord, for this request, because I got notes from track one on this. I just open my notes up and say, all right, what do I need to talk to them about? It's not that simple, is it? See, all the things that we've been mentioning up to this point still stand. The role of the Spirit, the importance of helping our counselees have a stronger relationship with Christ, handling suffering, understanding their goals, helping them understand our goals, those are all still relevant. So this would never be a first session for me. What I'm talking to you about is something that we're going to speak in our counseling room many sessions down the line. This isn't session number one. This might be session number 10. I also want to mention that sometimes you have a guy who wants, or who says he wants to be a godly husband, but doesn't really want to be a very godly person. He's not very committed to Jesus. And you're going to have to lovingly remind him that it just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And every now and then, you get an individual who seeks help and says they want to be a godly person, when in reality, they want to weaponize the Bible against someone else. And may the Lord give us wisdom to see when that is happening. Now let's turn our attention to the husband's role itself. And we try to make things simple. We're going to have three words that describe the role of a husband in Scripture. But I want you to know these three words aren't the only things a husband would ever do. But they are three important words, memorable words, and words that can help a man take a step of growth. They're learner, leader, and lover. Learner, leader, and lover. Now, in order to do the first one, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to call point number one, the joy, not the drudgery, but the joy of bringing glory to God by learning about and honoring his wife. The joy of bringing glory to God by learning about and honoring his wife. Now, 1 Peter 3:7 says, you husbands, and what's that next word, at least the one on the screen? Likewise. So you see that word likewise, and you wonder, well, like what? It says, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, what's that likewise about? What is up with that? Now, if you go back in the context and you look in your Bible, it says, you wives, likewise, in verse 1. And so you say, well, whatever the likewise thing is, it's referring to both husbands and wives. But we don't know what it is yet. So we got to go back in the context even further. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Now, what example is it that he left for us? Committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Then it's going to tell us what Christ's role was. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. I'm going to argue that every one of these L words, the learner, the leader, the lover, are all dependent on a person's relationship with Christ. They have to deal with that first. Because it says, you husbands, likewise. Well, what's the like? I think it's 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. Like the example that Christ set for you, here was the role that he was responsible to fulfill. To bear our sins on his body on the tree. And how did he go about accomplishing that? Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. It's possible that you might have a guy in your counseling room who needs to understand, look, this is how you're going to do your role. Whatever this learner thing is, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to entrust yourself to the one who judges righteously. Just like Christ did. And I don't know all of the reviling you might experience. I don't know all the suffering that you might experience. But I know this, Christ set an example and he didn't sin doing it. And so you're not going to justify what you do because somebody else happened to sin against you. You're going to seek to be like Christ in this way. And if you're having a difficult time doing it, you are going to say, Lord, I'm entrusting myself to you. I am giving myself over, and I'm asking you to help me live in a way that's honoring and pleasing to you, even if it happens to be hard at this moment. Sometimes we're really quick to jump into 1 Peter 3:7, and it's an important verse. It just has this little likewise in it that draws us back to the significance of his relationship with Christ. Now, once he